This is It's Okay That You're Not Okay, and I'm your host, Megan Devine. This week, getting ghosted by your therapist, and whether you should smile or scream when somebody tells you your dead sister is a holiday angel. My helpful advice coming up right after this first break.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we get started, two quick notes. One, this episode is an encore performance. I am on break working on a giant new project, so we're releasing a mix of our favorite episodes from the first three seasons of the show. This episode is from season one, in which I answered listener questions, sometimes on my own, sometimes with a guest. So if you want more of these Q&A style episodes, you can find the entire collection from season one wherever you get your podcasts. Second note. While we cover a lot of emotional relational territory in our time here together, this show is not a substitute for skilled support with a licensed mental health provider or for professional supervision related to your work. I really want you to take what you learn here, take your thoughts and your reflections out into your own world, and talk about it all.
Hey friends, we made it through the holidays. Woo! Hopefully you all survived. I also hope you had at least a tiny bit of joy or warmth from this season, best the holiday season could have given you. On this show, though, we tell the truth, and I gotta say the word in our inbox is that the holiday season was a tough one. So we wanted to do a holiday debrief show here for this first show of the new year, both to check in and to figure out a way forward. We got a lot to talk about. So let's dive right into the inbox. This week, I am so excited, everybody, because Kim, our producer, is going to read the questions for us. So let's get right to it.
A new therapist stood me up after I drove an hour to see her. When confronted about it, she said I needed to be patient with her, saying, and I quote, "Your husband's death set off unresolved feelings I have. And now I can't get into the Christmas spirit."
Okay. So when we first saw this question, the entire team started cracking up laughing. And I'm watching Kim here as she's trying to read this question clearly so y'all can hear it. And we had to do it a few times because she was laughing. Here's the thing. As funny as this story sounds, this is an actual real thing that happened to a real live person during what was supposed to be an experience of feeling supported and helped by a professional. So yes, on one hand, it is really funny. I mean, who says that? Your husband's death set off unresolved feelings I have, and now I can't get into the Christmas spirit. Like, who says that? And it really is hard to be a human being with feelings and good boundaries when it is your job to deal with other human beings with real feelings and real boundaries. So let's take this apart a little bit because there are so many things wrong with this one little story. I think there's also a question implied in here, right? Some of this is a listener sending in sort of an outrage story, like, can you believe this happened to me? But there's also a question that I hear in that. The question that I hear in that is, why should I bother going to get help? Why should I bother working so hard to find someone to help me when this is the kind of support I get? There's almost a futility or a frustration that I hear in this question. So one, yes, it can be really, really hard to find a good therapist. This is why I really like to have an initial call with a therapist or a doctor or anybody you're sort of leaning on in a professional capacity to help you through a hard time. Give them a call. Find out how they're going to respond to what you're living through so that you can save yourself that hour drive or that filing on your insurance. Any of those things, like a good preemptive call, can sort of weed out a lot of unfortunate situations. The second thing, I kind of want to talk to the therapist here for a minute. Remember just a second ago, I said that it is hard to be a human being with feelings and boundaries when your job is to deal with other human beings and their feelings. I think what we can talk about is, what's a better way to say, I can't work with you, rather than shaming the person who's coming to you because their grief harshed your holiday mellow? That's the other thing that I hear in this story, right? Is that the therapist used some language there that maybe they shouldn't have used. The effect is that they shamed the person going to look for help as though it was this grieving person's fault that the therapist couldn't get her holiday spirit on. Like, that's just very, very bad boundaries. What's a better way to say, I can't work with you? Not just for a therapist, but for a doctor or really anybody. What's a better way to say, I can't do this with you, if you'd rather avoid shaming the person who's coming to you for help? So a couple of things this therapist might have said. One, don't ghost people, right? Send a text, send an email, leave a voicemail saying something like, I really appreciate how much it took to call and ask for help. I need to let you know that for personal reasons, it's best that if we don't work together, I'm happy to help you look for someone else if that would feel helpful. Otherwise, I wish you the best in finding support you deserve. You hear what I did there? It's okay to have boundaries as a professional. It is okay to have feelings as a professional. It is not okay to use your feelings and your experience to shame or ghost somebody else.
Okay, this listener says, my family member keeps referring to my sister who died last year around Christmas as my Christmas angel and talking about how much fun Christmas in heaven must be. I know she means well and just wants me to know that she's thinking of her, and honestly, it feels nice to have her name mentioned. But picturing my living, breathing, snarky, best friend, non-religious partner in crime as a weird cherub just doesn't work for me. Thankfully, I can imagine her making some hilarious joke about it, so it does make me smile, even if it's not for the reason she thinks. While I do hope there's an afterlife, somewhere she's sipping Mai Tais with everyone we've ever loved, I do know I'd rather her be here. How do I deal with people's need to turn my person into an angel? Why does she have to be a holiday icon now?
So remember in our last question where we were kind of laughing at the question and the whole therapist ghosting thing, and then I brought us back to there are real live human beings underneath this admittedly funny story that's not actually funny. As soon as Kim started reading this question, I got all choked up because on the one hand, it is kind of a funny story, but it's also really heartbreaking. This happens all the time. People use their personal beliefs to dictate how other people should feel, how they should grieve, where they should find comfort, and how much fun they should be having, right? Helpers, don't do this. I'm never going to say that one belief system is correct or incorrect, or you should do this one and you should not do this one. Like, whatever you believe, if it brings you comfort, yay, I love that. What we need to understand, though, is that personal beliefs are not universal beliefs. We can actually hear it in this question from this listener. Like she says, my family members are really religious. They have a very specific idea of where my sister is now that she's died and not using her physical body anymore. That is not a sentiment that I share, and it's not one that my sister shared. So this dissonance between belief systems is a big point of friction for grieving people and for helpers. So thing number one here I want everybody to remember is that personal beliefs are not universal. The second thing, though, is even if this listener shared that belief that their sister is existing in some other Christmas angel form, it doesn't erase grief. It doesn't erase the pain attached to this sister not being in the room, being the snarky, living, breathing partner in crime, rolling their eyes at Christmas angel ideas. Do you hear where I'm going? Even if you believe that there is a life after this one that we don't know about yet, and sidebar here, nobody knows exactly what happens. Even if you believe that, your belief doesn't cancel out the pain of missing the person. So that's another important thing that I want to take with us. Even if you believe or other people believe that something exists after death and that your person is all around you, they still aren't here. And we want them to be here. So what can you say instead if you're a helper? You can say something like, you know, in my belief, I really believe that your sister is all around us right now. And I take a lot of comfort from that. Make it about you. That's awesome. I love that. Keep your beliefs about you and how they impact you and try not to use them to dictate what somebody else might be feeling. If you're on the receiving end of this kind of statement and it's not working for you, it's okay to say something like, I'm so glad that you find comfort in your faith. That's not a belief system that works for me, but I'm really happy to hear it's helping you. That's a really kind and inclusive, non-shaming way to set a boundary. Yeah. So I can talk about this religion belief stuff forever, but I gotta keep us rolling around to the next question. The New Year's breakup. So remember how many times I've said in earlier shows that this show isn't just about death and death-related grief? Grief is everywhere. We can use those same kinds of communication skills, like that one that I just mentioned about setting kind but clear boundaries with people around you. You can use these same foundational principles to everything. From the mundane and ordinary to the things that forever alter your life. Same relational approach to everything. Now, something that fits in that vast in-between stuff in between the mundane and ordinary and the possibly forever life-altering is the New Year's breakup story. Kim?
This listener says, Megan, I really appreciated your tips from a few weeks ago. I felt very prepared for the holidays with my family. I even put boundaries around talking about my job and my personal life. What I wasn't prepared for was finding out that my boyfriend of 7 years had been planning to break up for a while and used New Year's Eve as the excuse to do it. I gotta say, I'm truly thrown. I'm sad, but I'm also really angry. I don't want this to wreck my year, but I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. Should I get right back out there? Should I take time for myself? Any advice is great.
I feel like there are probably a lot of people who could have asked this question this time of year. What is it about New Year's Eve that makes people decide now is a good time to break up? I mean, I guess I already know the answer to that question, right? It's related to what we were talking about in the last couple of shows with New Year's resolutions and how do you want to feel? I think sometimes the mark on the calendar gives people just that one extra push that they needed to get out of something that isn't working for them. That can be kind of harsh, especially for this listener when they're like, wait a minute, we're supposed to be talking about good things for me and not having compassion for the jerk who broke up with me on New Year's Eve. But I do think that you've got a lot of company around this time of year. I hear about a lot of heartbreak like this. There are other people dealing with surprise breakup right alongside you. Doesn't fix how crappy it is, but it does seem to be something that happens to a lot of people. So let's get into some answers to this question. What do you do now? First of all, I also want to validate, I love that you said here, like, I'm also really angry. I think that we are so like, anger bad, must have some greater perspective. Like, no, anger is good. Anger is a normal, natural human response to a feeling of injustice. And it sounds like this breakup doesn't feel very fair. So of course you're angry. What should you do about it? Should you get yourself right back out there? Should you take time for yourself? And my answer to that is, I don't know. I think you get to experiment. Going back to something that Kate Bowler and I talked about in the last couple of episodes towards the end of the year about New Year's resolutions, remember we talked about you don't want to make a resolution about what life looks like, but you can make some resolutions about how you want to feel in the days and weeks and months that are to come. We can apply that to this New Year's Eve breakup situation. How do you want to feel? Maybe you do want to get right back out there, as you said, right? And dive right back into the dating pool. What I would suggest, though, is that you do that with some real intention. What are you hoping for when you go back out there and you start dating? Mostly so that you can do the, what do we call that? Like, so you can do the debrief for yourself when you come home from a date. You can say, here's what I was aiming for. Did I get what I was looking for? I was looking for a distraction. I was looking to feel loved and wanted and attractive again. Did I get what I was looking for? My point here is that there's no right or wrong thing to do after you've had a heartbreak. What I do encourage you to do is ask yourself what you need, run some experiments to see, can I get what I'm looking for? And then check back in with yourself after the fact. Did I get what I was looking for when I went back out, when I went for a run, when I went dancing in a public health conscious, socially distanced sort of way? How do you want to feel? Try out some things that you think might be helpful and then check in with yourself. There's one tiny thing that I want to make sure that we talk about because there was one more question here from this listener. Should I take time out for myself? Where I go with that is like, you know that thing that we tend to say to ourselves and to other people, like, you have to be okay with being alone before you can really be with another person? That is junk. I will say that as a therapist. That's sort of a standard therapist line, like, you have to be okay with yourself before you can be with somebody else. Okay, if we follow that logic through, that would mean that every single person in a relationship, in a long-term relationship, had themselves figured out before they got into it, or else they wouldn't still be there. You see how that all falls apart really fast? It is a lie that you need to be perfect before you can be in a good relationship. So should you take time for yourself when you've been dealt a big blow like this, any kind of heartbreak or loss? I don't know. Do you want to? Do you want to take some time to just be alone with yourself and listen to yourself and think about what you need and what you learned and what you might want for yourself going forward? Sure. I love that stuff. But don't do that because you think that you are inherently flawed and broken and that you are a self-improvement project that needs to be completed and wrapped up before you're deserving of love again. Yeah? Take time for yourself if you want to. Do whatever you need. I think we can also go back to that piece about how do you want to feel and apply it to everything we've talked about today. Every single one of the questions that you sent in, I think how do you want to feel as you negotiate these things or navigate these things? How do you want to feel the next time rather unskillful support lands in your lap because it's going to? How do you want to feel? What do you want to do when you look back at those interactions, those events, those breakups, those blips in the emotional screen of your life? We don't have control over how much skill somebody comes to us with. We don't have control over the timing of terrible news or terrible events. We really have control over very little. One of my least favorite memes, I feel like this show could very easily be memes Megan hates. One of my other least favorite memes is like, the only thing you have control over in a situation is your response to it. We'll get into that one on a different show, but I think the underlying message in that is like, if only you thought about this terrible thing better, it wouldn't bug you so much. That's definitely not what I'm talking about. What I'm going for here is really like, when you look back at an interaction, what I want for you is that you feel like you advocated for yourself, you were clear and direct about your needs. It doesn't change the crappy support or the poorly timed breakup or the terrible thing that happened. But what is under your control is the effort you make to care for yourself and to get yourself out of situations that are uncomfortable and not serving what you need in that moment. Yeah? Using these tools to help yourself navigate anything that comes at you. Those are tools of self-advocacy, communication, and relationship building. Really, all of this work is about relationship building, friends. The good stuff, the hard stuff, everything in between. I think that's a great note to close on today. Stay tuned after this commercial break for the questions to carry with you and some scripting, because I know you all love that. We'll be right back.
I'm Ilya Kani, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Each week, I leave you with some questions to carry with you until we meet again. It's part of the whole this stuff gets easier with practice thing. You know I love it when you practice. This week, what's your thanks but no thanks plan? Look, we all mess up the whole being supportive thing. I do this for a living and I still stick my foot in my mouth all the time. It's embarrassing. You are absolutely going to encounter support from people, therapists, doctors, friends, colleagues. You're going to encounter support that doesn't work for you. One option for a response is just the whole like smile and nod, thanks for thinking of me, aren't you nice response, which is totally valid and a tool you should have in your toolbox. But what about for those times when you want to say more? Advanced planning for this is a great idea. In the moment, it's like, you know how you always think like, oh, I would have said this. This is the comeback I would have said. Like advanced planning is your best defense against that, man, I wish I'd said this. Come up with a few stock phrases that you can use in these kinds of situations. Just a couple of them. You do not need an entire dictionary to flip through to find which one of your collection you want to use. That's not time efficient. Come up with just a couple of stock phrases that you will reuse over and over. Your stock phrases might be something like this. It sounds like your faith brings a lot of comfort to you, and that's not a faith I share. Or, I know it seems helpful to tell me that I need to be okay with myself before I date again, but I don't need to be perfect to be loved. One deflective statement I used this very morning was, those sound like really interesting ideas for your living room. I'm going to take a different approach with my own house. You see what I did there? I used the same skills that we've been talking about in really sticky, griefy, heartbreak, weird support situations and applied them to something really mundane and ordinary. In this case, somebody telling me what I should do with my own living room. Weird. These same skills can be applied to a lot of situations. So whatever situations are really bugging you or that you seem to run into often, come up with your stock phrases. Use them to redirect the situations. Use them so that you feel like you advocated for yourself and didn't sit there listening to things that made you just furious. This week, whatever prescriptive support comes at you, remember that it's going to be easier to set a boundary if you have mapped it out ahead of time. So go on and give it a go. Do some advanced planning. Your future self will thank you. And if you need a little more information on this whole stock phrases to deflect supportive pressure thing, check out the show notes. We're going to link to some other episodes where we talk about this very thing. You know how most people are going to scan through the show description of this show and think, I don't want to talk about that stuff? This is where you come in. Your reviews let people know it really isn't all that bad in here. We talk about heavy stuff, but it's in the service of making things better for everyone. So everybody needs to listen. Spread the word in your workplace, in your social world, on social media, and click through to leave a review. Subscribe to the show. Download episodes. Send in your questions. Get your neighbor to send in their questions. Want more hereafter? Grief education doesn't just belong to end-of-life issues. Life is full of losses. From everyday disappointments to events that clearly divide life into before and after. Learning how to talk about that without cliches or platitudes or simplistic think positive workplace posters is an important skill for everybody. Find trainings, workshops, books, and resources for every human trying to make their way in the world after something goes horribly wrong at megandevine.co. Hereafter with Megan Devine is written and produced by me, Megan Devine. Executive producer is Amy Brown, co-produced by Kimberly Cowan and Elizabeth Fazio, edited by Houston Tilley, and music provided by Wavecrush.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.